When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final live right here on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to go. We'll hear from our guy, Craig Mish, as he continues to break down why the Marlins dealt Luis Arias to the San Diego Padres. We'll go around Major League Baseball. We'll set the stage for a doubleheader tonight in hockey. Only one game in the NBA playoffs, DRS. Just one? On a Wednesday, at least it's in Madison Square Garden between the Knicks and the Pacers. Still so much to get to here in this final hour.
Yeah, we'll hit it all those topics. And also, we love a little bit of day Major League Baseball, and we got that in spades today.
Do.
So those RBI numbers are going to be popping. Some pitchers that should be questionable at best on the mound. That's what we like to see. We'll see if we get some of those decisions to go our way. And also, at the end of this hour, best bets, man, stay smoking hot. See what we come up with.
And our guy, my guy, soon-to-be DRS's guy, George Balecki from Nesson, will join us later in this final hour to talk all things Boston ahead of the Bruins, heading back to Sunrise tonight to take on Florida and the Celtics after a dominant Game 1 victory over the Cavs. But we start, how else would we start this third and final hour? NHL draft lottery last night for 2024. The San Jose Sharks, the worst team in the regular season in the National Hockey League, do get rewarded at least a silver lining at the end of a dismal year. They will pick number one overall in the draft lottery. Last year, that was big for the Blackhawks to get it because of the prince that was promised in Connor Bedard. Who's going number one this year to San Jose?
I mean, we'll find out. But by the way, tanking in the shark tank out there is the way to go out there in San Jose at this point. So I know we brought up who was supposed to be number one overall. It already escaped my mind, but I know the guy's got a pretty good name. So if anybody reminds me of that name, that's who we'll go with here as number one overall. I know he played at Boston.
Casey broke it down for us. Casey Hudson. Yeah. I think he played at BU. What was that?
What's his first name, though? That's got a good first name, though.
Yeah, we don't
first
gotta,
name is...
All right, we can look this up.
Come on now, Bayline.
We can look this up. Live with the...
Yeah.
Macklin Celebrini? Mac
there you go.
Celebrini?
Is that what it is?
That's the guy. Out of BU. Hey, I know George Balecki actually covered Mac Celebrini. We'll ask him about that as well. Where are the Flyers picking DRS after missing out in the postseason?
12th overall, 12th. But the biggest news of the day yesterday was a man that can end the Cold War once again all by himself, and Michkov lifting in a Flyers shirt yesterday. World peace is only days away, people. Just let him play hockey in the U.S. He will fill out everybody's wildest fantasies here, and we'll all live kindly together. There you go.
Mitchie making his way to Philly next year, perhaps. By the way, Macklin Celebrini, just 17 years old, turns 18 on June 13th. Born in 2006. You think
how many years
I'm
in college?
DRS.
One?
Yeah, they just want to be you, right?
Like 16-year-old in college. Look, Bryce Harper going to college at 16. What are we doing here? Settle down, kids. Take your time.
Oh, wow. So Casey mentioned he had ties to the Bay Area, Northern California. He's the son of Rick Celebrini, who was the Warriors vice president of something in their front office for Golden State. You learn a lot when you put in a little bit of research, huh?
There you go. Research on the fly. It's what we do on the show. Who thinks we prep before the show? No way. We prep during the show on this show, people. Get it right.
You You want our live reactions. We get your live reaction to an interesting question to the public about Jalen Brunson. Four consecutive games of 40-plus points for the New York Knicks that led to a series victory over Philadelphia and a game one win over Indiana in the opening game of this second round set. But is Jalen Brunson by himself enough? That was the question in Fade the Public. At SportsGrid on Twitter, can Jalen Brunson be the best player on a championship-winning team? Probably should have said NBA championship-winning team because he was the best player on the 2018 national champion Villanova Wildcats. But that's just my college basketball knowledge. The question was that the answers that you could choose from, yes or no, pretty easy. And it's near a decisive split right now. 50.8%, Donnie, saying yes. But yes got out to a hot start. No is coming from behind. 49.2% say no. Jalen Brunson cannot be the best player on a championship-winning team. Where do you fall, Donnie?
I actually voted no on this, but it's a really tough question, which I think bodes well for that 50-50 split right now, because you're saying to yourself, Brunson is absolutely phenomenal. Can he be the best player on the team to win a championship? Well, theoretically, yes, he can, but also it's like that double-edged sword. Well, who's he surrounded by? Does he have a really good other four that fit him perfectly, which allows him to win a championship? Or are we just talking about, well, Brunson can't be the best player on the team because I don't think he's going to win a championship, and maybe if they get, I don't know, a superstar in their prime to come over to handle the, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo comes over. So I do think I love the fact that this is basically a 50-50 split, because I voted no just because I'm looking at Brunson and the Knicks right now as that sole focus, saying, all right, I don't think the Knicks are good enough to win a championship. Therefore, Brunson isn't good enough here. But then again, if the Knicks improve themselves in the offseason and win a championship because Brunson is the best player and has four legitimate surrounding players around him, yes, he can. So yeah, it's a hard one to actually answer. I answered no, Ben, just based on this year, because I don't think the Knicks can win the championship. Therefore, I don't think Brunson can be the best player because he's the best player of the Knicks and the Knicks win, if you get my drift there.
That is a very fair thought and naturally correlated when you look at this year's sample size. The New York Knicks, the number two seed in the Eastern Conference, as high as they have been in quite some time. They are favored right now to win this series outright over the Pacers to reach the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in nearly 25 years since 2000. And this might be their best shot, and Jalen Brunson is their best player. Thus, you follow the track. We had this debate downstairs with our guys behind the scenes, John Shea, James, Joe Frizzo, Matt Mullalem, everybody involved in the Jalen Brunson debate. I actually voted yes and said yes in our conversation earlier this week because I think Jalen Brunson can be the best. He just needs a better supporting cast. And this is no shot at OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, or Dante DiVincenzo. If there was a solidified number two, an all-star alongside Jalen Brunson, that Brunson was slightly better and more productive then I would say, yes, Jalen Brunson could be the best player on an NBA championship-winning team. But I don't think he has that this year, despite the production we are seeing out of guys like Hart and our guy Tay-Tay. That was kind of more my argument, DRS, needing a more solidified two, probably even better than a Julius Randle had he not been hurt for this playoff run. If there was another guy to join him, then I would say, yes, Jalen Brunson could be that best player in what might be a 1-1-A scenario.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you there, which is perfect why we're getting that 50-50 split, because people are thinking about this a little bit differently than let's just do what Donnie's doing. Well, he's the best player on the Knicks. They're not going to win it this year, so no, he can't win a championship here. But you're right about that. You get him players of his equal, he's probably still going to shine. I mean, heck, he still was shining down in Dallas with Luka Doncic right next to him. So we weren't surprised that he went to New York and was a great player. We're just surprised on the biggest stage down the playoffs where it's like, yeah, he's a little guard out here. Eventually he'll get shut down. Like, no, he shoots 30 times a game and scores 40 points and is the focal point of that offense. So if they do surround him with a better supporting cast, technically he can be. But again, I'm just using it under the scope of I see what I see this year, and I'm voting based on this year where he's by far and away the best player on the New York Knicks, and I don't think they can win a championship. That's the only reason why I voted no on this one today.
40-plus in four straight games for Jalen Brunson. He has taken at least 26 field goal attempts in all seven playoff games for New York. He has had to do that for the Knickerbockers to have success, and he has matched the expectation each and every time. We have celebrated, and rightfully so, Anthony Edwards having back-to-back 40-point games to become the only other player alongside Kobe Bryant to be 22 years old or younger to go 40-plus in back-to-back games in NBA playoff history. If Ant were to score 40-plus in four straight, or Nikola Jokic or Luka Doncic or insert X other NBA player, we would say that guy for sure is top 10 in the NBA. Jalen Brunson has done that, and yet we debate his status as that true superstar for the New York Knicks. Major League Baseball, a scoop that was Donnie's, but really Craig Mish's, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Daily Bases, live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, a full Wednesday slate around MLB with a ton of day baseball as well. We welcome on our MLB insider, the host of Newswire, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Craig Mish joins us here, a true Major League Baseball insider who broke a little bit of news as the weekend was getting started. The Luis Arias deal to the San Diego Padres and what the Marlins received in return. Craig, we'll get your actual details and thoughts here in this segment. Now, Craig, you weren't here yesterday, and we welcome you on to the show. Donnie gave his reason why this trade was done. What is the actual reason Miami made this deal?
What was Donnie's reason? I'm just curious.
Go ahead, Donnie.
That the Marlins are tanking once again, and the public's going to be unhappy about this, and why should we go to Marlins games? You got a 27-year-old hitter that you got last year who can still work through the rebuild and be a solid player at a 30 or 31-year-old. I can't stand it for the fans of South Beach. That was my take, Craig.
Yeah, well, I mean, nowhere near South Beach, Donnie. That's beside the point. I would say, look, you know, some of that is accurate in the sense that it's a rebuild. That's definitely accurate. But what I would say first and foremost is how many players in general that are of high quality all-star stay through any rebuild in Major League Baseball? Very, very few. Usually these guys are shipped out. I think a good example of a player who was kept during a rebuild and then went on to win a World Series, maybe Freddie Freeman on Atlanta. I think that's pretty fair. The Braves sort of went down for several years. Freeman stuck it out. But Freeman was a high-level defender, a player that was going to hit a lot of home runs and do a lot more than Arias was going to do for the Marlins. Just simply put, Arias is a great singles and doubles hitter. That's what he is at this stage. He's not going to slug. He's not going to play great defense. And the way that Miami looked at this was, if we're not going to extend him and we're potentially in store for 100 losses this season and then maybe another tough year next year, which is probably not a maybe, it's going to be, then Arias becomes a free agent. And so what are they doing at this point? Now, the timing of it is definitely interesting because you don't see a lot of trades happen in May. That's true. I mean, you just don't see that. It's usually before the season, after the season, or the trade deadline. But just simply put, he was not going to be part of the long-term plan. And I think he'll have a lot of success in San Diego as a hitter. I just don't know where that's going to be, guys. I don't know. Is that going to be at first base? Is it going to be a designated hitter? And that's the other dynamic to this conversation. As Arias, as great as he is, with that skill set of playing first base, you go around the league, you know, 15, 20 teams, maybe more, have these big, hulking first basemen who hit 30, 40 home runs. It's not really the skill set. Arias is a throwback hitter like Wade Boggs, Rod Carew, Mark Grace, Tony Gwynn. All that is great. But that being said, they don't have a strong foothold in this day and age in Major League Baseball for whatever reason. I don't love it. I love the player. I think it'd be great. I would love every player to come up and hit 340, 350. The value just simply, guys, is not there like it used to be on players like that.
What is the future of the Marlins here? Because quite frankly, throughout their existence, it is kind of wild. Like, they'll win a World Series, completely tear it down, win a World Series, completely tear it down. But we seem to be going through one of those spots where it's like, okay, we think we have the young players we need, now we don't. What is the actual rebuild going to take place and look like for the Marlins? Is it next year we'll clean out, then we'll start to spend some money? Is it just going to be this endless cycle of, let's just get prospects, hope they work, and once they sort of get good, we'll trade them away? What is the outlook here for the Marlins, for us, Greg?
Yeah, well, look, they tried this several years ago for, I mean, really the third time, I guess it's fair to say. I mean, I think that's fair to say, where they traded Stanton and Yelich and Ozuna and then JT Realmuto the following year. And while the Marcel Ozuna trade was fantastic, they got Sandy Alcantara back. He won a Cy Young. They got Zach Gallen back. They traded him for Jazz Chisholm. The rest of the trades did not work out. So at that time, Donnie, they had a lot of players and a lot of stars to work with that they could rebuild with, but they didn't hit on any of them outside of Sandy Alcantara and Zach Gallen. So that being said, this time around, they don't have those chips. So how's it going to happen, Donnie? No one wants to hear this, but it's going to happen through the draft. And how does it happen through the draft? There's really only one guarantee, as we've seen in baseball, is you have to be, oh my gosh, hold your ears, really bad. You have to be really bad like Baltimore. You have to be really bad like the Cubs. You have to be really bad like Houston and lose 100 games for several years. And with the new rules in place in baseball, you can't have a lottery pick more than 2 years in a row. So that's another new dynamic here that we're going to be dealing with. A lot of people are not even recognizing that. In the new CBA, the Marlins could lose 100, they're in the lottery. They lose 100, they're in the lottery again. Third time, they're outside. They're going to pick 12 or 13 or whatever it is. So even that is not the secret sauce to success anymore. So they have a lot of work to do. They're going to be up against it, but the future is going to hold 200 losses, I think, the next 2 years, this year and next.
Mm. Oof. Craig, great insight, and we appreciate that detail here. Now we fast forward to this Wednesday slate around Major League Baseball, a second game of this midweek series up in the Bronx between the Yankees and the Astros. These two teams have played five times this year, opening four-game set of the season in Houston. The Yankees swept the Astros yesterday, a 10-3 victory for the Bombers at home as well. Tonight, heavily favored with Carlos Rodon on the bump to make it six straight wins over Houston. And that's the focus for me, Craig. The Astros 12-23, 11 games below 500. Yes, it is early May, but is it getting late early on this MLB season for the Astros?
Well, look, as Donnie knows, they're going to play this game in Midtown Manhattan tonight, you know, right around the corner from the Bronx.
Kevin grew up here, by the way.
Tough matchup.
You joke about that, Craig. But that is Donnie's kind of bit, so.
I mean, is this a Staten Island showdown or what tonight, you know? Like, this is it. This is what you're looking for. Staten Island versus Lubbock, Texas. No, look, I think the Astros have to wake up soon. I mean, 2 weeks ago I wasn't worried. They lost another pitcher. They're not hitting. They're not pitching. They have guys going through free agency at the end of the season. Look, in a one-game scenario, anything can happen, but the concern level for Houston has got to be rising, and I think across the organization, they sort of have to figure out who they are, because if not, they could be forced to do some very uncomfortable things at the deadline also.
The Astros right now 7-1 to win the American League pennant, still tied for the fourth best price, but they were the preseason favorites at a +360 number. Craig Mish, we appreciate the time. As always, we will see you on Newswire in just about 40 minutes on this Wednesday. We'll dive through the rest of the slate today in Major League Baseball with some picks, previews, and breakdowns coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some day baseball inside Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri. It's the Royals hosting the Brewers. Kansas City won the opening game of this series by one run. The Brewers respond last night. The three-run shot from Willy Adames in the top of the ninth. Milwaukee wins by one run. Might it be close on this Wednesday? KC -130, home money line favorite. Brady Singer gets the start, but really, we're talking our guy, Vinny P. Will it be another big day for Vinny Pasquantino and the Kansas City Royals?
I mean, there can be a chance to, but if you take a look at Joe Ross, the right-handed pitcher on the mound today, 143 batters he's faced this season, combined ISO power number 109, a weighted on base percentage of 328, so right about average. Not giving up the power, but it's also one of those where if you say Ross, who's a decent pitcher and a righty, you just want to take a look at how the lineup performs for the Kansas City Royals just against right-handed pitching. And seemingly every day it comes up, you do want Vinny in your lineup at a 279 ISO power number to 338 weighted on base percentage. Salvador Perez, 265 ISO, 423 weighted on base percentage, and a guy that always pops up for me on a night-to-night basis, usually at a 2-to-1 price or more to get an RBI, is Michael Massey, a 209 ISO and a 360 weighted on base percentage. It's not a great matchup because you really would like to have left-handed batters really pounding away at Joe Ross, and that hasn't been the case. But if you feel that that Royals lineup could stay hot, and also 75 degrees at first pitch, wind blowing out the left field at 6 miles an hour, maybe that helps. If we flip it over to the other side, Brady Singer on the mound, 160 batters he's faced. He's been electric here. An ISO of 160, which is still below the average, and a weighted on base percentage of 266. Not a lot to love on offense between these two ball clubs today, even though we had those ninth inning fireworks yesterday and Vinny P getting a couple RBI. I don't know if that's going to be the case today. Maybe a slight lean towards the under.
Total at 9 right now for some day baseball. The New York Mets victorious in a high-scoring game against the Cardinals under the arch yesterday, 7-5 in St. Louis. More day baseball at Busch Stadium, where the Cardinals are a pretty hefty favorite to get a win over the Amazons. What do you think happens in the Lou?
This feels like an under as well, and you see that heavy favorites because Sonny Gray's been absolutely electric on the mound. Forget about the Mets lineup coming into this. Sonny Gray threw 114 batters, Ben. ISO power number of 056, a weighted on base percentage of 215, only walking 4% of the batters he's faced, and also his K percentage, 33%. All of these numbers are elite against a decent lineup here for the Mets. But let's flip it over to the other side, why it's really hard to trust the Cardinals. They got some devastating news yesterday. One of my favorite guys to bet RBI props early in the season was Contreras, their catcher, broke his arm when a bat from a swing yesterday hit his arm. He's going to be down for at least 60 days or more at this point. That's bad news. But Jose Quintana's on the mound today. 139 ISO and a 334 weighted on base percentage throughout 163 batters. He's been okay. But here's the problem if you're looking to back St. Louis at that big price. We expect a good performance out of Sonny Gray, but look at the guys at the plate. Every single one of these batters against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days, Ben, 154 is the high number for an ISO power number. Everybody else, 0, 042, 053, 059, 083, 087, and 0. This lineup is terrible against lefties here, so buyer beware. You'll get a good pitching performance for St. Louis. I don't know if you get the plate performance to uphold that number, though, Ben.
Donnie, the Redbirds did not reach expectation last year. Preseason NL Central favorites, they did not win the division. Same story this year. Preseason NL Central favorites, now 6 games below 500, riding a 4-game losing skid in the cellar of the National League Central. The Dodgers have been nearly a $3 favorite in their first 2 games against Miami this week at home. They have won both of those games relatively handily. A minus 290 favorite in game number 3 against Miami. Some day baseball at the Ravine. Will the Dodgers take advantage of nearly being booked as a $3 favorite again?
Be interesting. Again, you have that noon start out there, the marine layer that we always talk about in Los Angeles. Usually comes into play at night, but this is a day baseball game. 75 degrees at first pitch with the wind blowing out to dead center field at 7 miles an hour. Ryan Weathers, not a great pitcher on the mound here for Florida. However, last year he got peppered, both left-handed and right-handed batters beating him up equally as a left-handed pitcher. This year, he's been stellar against lefties. So immediately you take a look and say, okay, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani might be out of the lineup, but how does he do against right-handed batters? Not great. A 213 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 373. Look no further than in the cleanup spot today. We expect to be Will Smith, a 357 ISO and a 522 weighted on base percentage. That's your RBI guy, Will Smith, today.
Yeah, it really is a great look. The Dodgers have scored a ton of runs as of late. Shohei Ohtani did not hit a home run yesterday. He had 4 long balls in the previous 3 games for L.A. As we quickly show you the odds for today's day baseball inside the friendly confines, the Cubbies and the Padres have split their 2 games so far this week. The Cubs, an underdog at home today against San Diego. Dylan Cease gets the start for the Padres. George Bellectri, the Boston Breakdown, is here next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Boston Breakdown on this Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line and the return of one of our favorites. It is George Bilekci from Nesson here on this Wednesday. The Celtics dominant in game number one of their second round series. The Bruins dominant in game number one of their second round set on the road in Sunrise with game two on the horizon tonight. Georgie, thank you for joining us here on this Wednesday on the Early Line.
Boys, great to be with you. Donnie, first time I'm on the show with you, but love to do this Boston breakdown coming live from the oldest neighborhood in Boston, Charlestown. 100% part of Boston, by the way, for anyone that wants to say otherwise.
George, a native of New Jersey. Donnie, of course, spent some time in George's hometown as a great slot wide receiver back a little bit ago during his college days. The two have bonded. It's like a family reunion here on TEL. George's first appearance on the Early Line, though, hasn't been on the Spiz Grizz Network since the days of the Morning After, but he's here now on TEL. All right, let's dive into the Boston breakdown. The Celtics, George, a 12.5-point favorite for game number one last night against Cleveland, and Boston makes good on that number, winning by 25, 120-95. All five playoff wins now for Boston this postseason by at least 14 points, and they have covered as a double-digit favorite. How do you describe the Celtics' dominance to start off this postseason set against Cleveland?
Dominant, like you just said it. I mean, every time they've won, they've just run the other team off the floor. And think about the one loss they've suffered this postseason. That was with the Miami Heat shooting a historic clip from outside, 53%, which was a franchise record and something they didn't even come close to touching any time from that point on. I'm talking they were sub-20, sub-30% from that point on when the Celtics took perimeter defense seriously. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell got his 33, but no one really could fill it in otherwise. And with Jared Allen out in game one of this series, I saw him out in game seven against the Magic. To me, that was a red flag, and that's why I like laying the points here with the Celtics. 12.5 is a lot, but guys, it's been simple for me, and I'm going back to the regular season on how I bet the Boston Celtics. If their opponent was top 10, both ends of the floor, I'm fine with taking the points. But with the Cavaliers, good defensive team, middle of the pack offensively. If they can't get those buckets to fill it out and keep up with the Celtics offense, they're going to suffer. And think about it like this too. Jaylen Brown's been their best player this postseason. Derek White's been their second best. Jason Tatum has not been good at all. 40% from the floor, 29% from three in the first round series. 0-for from deep in that game one. His shot's not there. He's getting it done, rebounding assists. That's fine. But this team hasn't been firing on all cylinders yet. You could say, Cleveland should respond in game two. But this Boston team is in a completely different league, man. Cleveland is not even in their stratosphere. I don't see Boston really getting challenged until they get to the finals.
It's a great point you bring up here, George, because I love the fact that you're, embedded on location here. The reason I say that is, how's the vibes in the city? Is it, look, we expect to win these games. We expect to win these rounds. We're not waiting to get excited until the NBA finals, because it's one thing to look at the Celtics, who we know is the favorite basically all season long. They've lived up to it here in the playoffs, but getting the Miami Heat, we expected a quick series. Getting Cleveland, we expect a quick series, and who knows if it's the New York Knicks. So how are the fans feeling right now? Is it, we're waiting to get really excited in the finals, or no, they're on board right now enjoying the ride?
They're on board right now. They're enjoying the ride. I mean, when you're beating teams by 20 plus points, and it's nothing new. They've been doing it all regular season long, but the electric environment that is Boston around the playoffs, especially around the Celtics, it's palpable throughout the city. You go to TD Garden, you walk out to Causeway or Canal Street after, and it's just an absolute mob outside, shoulder to shoulder, everyone in green, just living and dying by every single win and loss by this team. They're just happy that it's more wins than losses. And they just know that everything, because they came up short in 2022, game six, lose to the Warriors. Came up short last year, Jason Tatum ankle in game seven against the Heat decided that game. They know that this front office and Brad Stevens went all in on this roster, is going all in on this core by bringing in Jrue Holiday, by bringing in Kristaps Porzingis. Now they're waiting with bated breath to get KP back, hopefully for the ECF for finals. But regardless, they know that it's now or never with the current construct of this roster. So even if they're winning by 25 points or they're winning by two points, which hasn't happened, by the way, in this postseason, but even if they're winning marginally and even if they're losing, they're loving every step of this ride.
And that's the level of success and the ceiling the Celtics will be judged by. Not just winning the Eastern Conference Championship, but winning an NBA Finals. And right now, the Boston Celtics, an odds-on favorite to do that at minus 120. Into minus money, that odds-on category for the first time. George, before we go further and we get to the Boston Bruins in Game 2 tonight, let's talk about the series against Cleveland. The odds makers expect this to be done rather quickly, maybe as short as 4 games. What is your series prediction for the remainder of the way against the Cavs?
With no Jared Allen, it's tough for me to say anything different than Celtics in 5. Now, if it was Jared Allen, I'd maybe say 6. To predict a sweep is tough because, like I said, Donovan Mitchell scored 33 points. Him and Darius Garland will combine and they will steal a game from this team. We've seen it from the Celtics. At a certain point, they lull. Maybe it's game 2 at home, getting comfortable against a bad Cavs team. Maybe it's that first game, game 3 in Cleveland, where the Cavaliers can come out, get Jared Allen back, have a different look towards that Celtics defense and offense, of course, with his rim protection, and steal a game 3. But the Celtics will bounce back. I like that Celtics in 5 number, especially you get value. If you bet $100, you're going to make $35 more than if you go Celtics in 4. But 6 or 7, not happening, because end of the day, this Celtics team, they need to get punched in the mouth every once in a while, but they always respond by waking up. We saw them do it with the Heat. We've seen them do it throughout the regular season where the Pistons take them to overtime, or the Cavaliers themselves have come back from down 18, 19 points and won in the fourth quarter. So this Celtics team has had their lulls, but I expect this to be done in 5. I said that before the series, even with Jared Allen, maybe it would change if they get him back, but I think it's Celtics in 5 still.
How about the Boston Bruins here? And Swayman taking the goal by storm right now. Basically $1.50 and under here. His goals against average. He's been absolutely tremendous and also a monster performance in game number 1 where Boston goes on the road and wins 5-1. George, talking about this, like, we're going neck and neck here. There's Bruins, there's Boston. Is there enough room for both of these teams and enough love in the city to cheer it on?
Oh, there is. And I got to say, it's a great job by the scheduling done by the networks to have Celtics one night, Bruins the next, Celtics one night, Bruins the next. I mean, it's just perfect. And you guys know it being in New York City and New Jersey as well. Rangers, Knicks. Like, just the rare time I'll give credit to scheduling done, except when the Knicks have a 9 p.m. tip. But that's besides the point. With the Bruins, and you pointed out Jeremy Swayman, he's the best player in these playoffs. He was supposed to allow, if you look at the metrics, almost 20 goals in that first round. He only allowed 9. And one of those was off an awful Charlie McAvoy turnover. Another one was off an awful Brandon Carlo turnover. He's only really allowed like 8 goals in that first round series, let's say. But he's been playing out of his mind. And I was a guy going into this postseason saying you stick with the rotation. Switch him off every other game, especially with 1 game rest, because it worked the last month and a half of the season. But Jeremy Swayman went game 1, game 3. Jim Montgomery hasn't given him back, and he has a better than 950 save percentage, a 1.5 goals against average, as you pointed out, Donnie. I mean, he has been historic in the crease for the Boston Bruins. And even look at game 1 against the Panthers. Final score 5-1. If McAvoy doesn't cough that puck up, it could have been a 5-0, and you'd had a shootout. You keep starting in the crease because he's a guy that'll carry this team. Until he shows you otherwise, you don't take Swayman out.
Yeah.
When you look at the odds for game number 2 tonight, Florida is a home ice favorite listed right now at minus 166. The odds makers, quickly here, Georgie, 40 seconds left in this segment, expect the Panthers to bounce back. Do you?
Yes, I do. They're going to bring the toughness. They just looked off in game 1, but look at that total, 5.5. Jeremy Swayman's going to be stout. Sergei Bobrovsky will get more help from his blue line. Or if they go with the other goaltender, they figured it out. Keep in mind, this Panthers team had the best goals allowed per game in the NHL, 2.4. And Jeremy Swayman's been historic and performing well against the Panthers. I would go under in this game before I would pick either side.
You guys bonded over your similar settings in New Jersey. Really, you could bond even further over Jeremy Swayman, who Donnie loves. George Bilecki from Nesson, we thank you for your time. NBA preview up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Wednesday on the early line, a rather light slate in NBA playoff action. Only 1 game, just 1, on this Wednesday night, but it's inside Madison Square Garden. It's game number two of the conference semifinal series between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. The Knicks booked as a 4.5-point favorite as of this moment, total at 220. Compare it to the odds for game number one. The Knickerbockers were a pregame 5.5-point favorite. Total was 217 and a hook. That went well over. The Pacers lost by 4 in a controversial final 60 seconds, but did end up covering as an underdog in game number one. The New York Knicks, Donnie, 4 games so far inside Madison Square Garden this postseason. 3-1 straight up, but just 1-3 against the spread. Every game the Knicks have played, all 7, have been decided by 11 points or fewer in this playoff run. Will it be close again tonight inside the Mecca?
I think it will be close, and also updated live numbers here now. -5 as a favorite towards the New York Knicks here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That total listed at 219 here, so we get some movement both ways. Here's the tough part about this, and if you even want to equate it to, let's just say, game one of the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks. You saw them win game number one, won game number two. It was controversial, but they still end up getting the win. I'm interested to see how the Pacers bounce back, because quite frankly, for a large portion of that game, Ben, the Pacers were the better team, and you have the entire game to wipe it, where it's like, okay, we should have been up 10 points in the final minute and none of those actual plays that went against us should have mattered. Case in point, I understand it. But it did happen in that moment, and the Pacers probably thought they would be waking up the following morning with a 1-0 series lead and can really turn the screws to the New York Knicks at the Garden and go up 2-0 before they even head back to Indiana. Now, that's not the case at this point. How do they actually come back in this one? And also the Knicks knowing they may have gotten away with one here in the fourth quarter and they got the victory and how they are going to perform. I look at that 5 points in this game, and it can go either two ways. I actually don't think, Ben, that 5-point line comes in tonight, which means the New York Knicks, if they win, they're going to win by margin and be the better team. Or the Pacers go, we were better for the majority. We're not looking to hang around. We're looking to beat the Knicks here. Obviously, that is the goal. So that's the way I approach this game. If you think the Pacers are the better ball club and can bounce back, don't take the points here. Take the +176 on the money line currently here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you think the Knicks are going to win, obviously you're just going to lay that 5 and go along with it. From what I saw in that previous game, I do think the Pacers are going to get the best of the Knicks tonight and even this series up before they head back to Indiana. Yeah. That's the way I'm vibing. So would I like to take the 5 points? Yes, but I just told you, I don't think that spread's going to come into play. I think the Pacers win tonight. I do.
Really, it's been against the Knicks that an underdog in this postseason has stayed within the number to cover but not win outright. Game number one for the Pacers in that instance. I do agree with you, though. If Indiana is going to keep it within that 5-point margin, of course, more than likely in a tight game, they would have the opportunity to win outright, but would win outright. Total working its way down by a full point to 219. 5 of the 7 games for both of these teams so far in this postseason run have gone over. New York has been over in 16 of 20, dating back to the end of the regular season. Indiana over in all 4 victories against Milwaukee. Of course, game one, well over that pregame number of 217 and a hook, and it goes to their style of play. The Pacers play with pace. That is how they win this game. That is how they stay competitive. I don't think Indiana wins 101-94 tonight. That's not how I think the recipe is there for the Pacers. It has been their recipe of success throughout the entirety of this season. Now, when you look at Indiana, they've been an underdog just twice in their 7 playoff games. Game number 2 against Milwaukee, they won outright. They did cover the number in game number 1 against the New York Knicks. But of course, any conversation from the player perspective in this series, when it features New York, it starts with Jalen Brunson. 4 consecutive games of at least 40 points, and the points prop continues to get higher and higher each and every contest. Now at 37.5. Donnie, you made this point. We keep highlighting how good Jalen Brunson has been, how many shot attempts that he takes, and with the efficiency he is hitting right now, he just continues to put up nearly 40, or in the last 4 games, 40+. What do you do with 37.5 for a points prop for Jalen Brunson in game number 2?
I mean, it's again, we have to get back to the facts of the matter that 37.5 points sounds like a ridiculous amount for a playoff game, and it actually is. But these numbers aren't pulled out of thin air like, hey, man, he's averaging 7 points a game. They just put it at 37.5. No, every night it feels like he's going to 40 points. And if you take a look and you think the Knicks are going to be competitive tonight, which obviously we think they are, it's because Jalen Brunson shoots 25 times. If you feel he's going to go back to games 1 and 2 against the Sixers, making 5, 6, 7, or 8 field goal attempts, well, then maybe you're in luck here with that 37.5. But if you feel like he's going to shoot what he does 45% or better and get to the line multiple times, you're probably thinking he's going to get to 40 tonight. And the court is opening up. We see that total around 220. We're expecting points tonight. Jalen Brunson is a big part of those points for the New York Knicks. So from my money, I look at the 37.5 and say way too many things can go wrong that are out of my, let's just say, you know, possibilities. You could twist an ankle. You can get an early foul trouble, which costs you maybe 5 or 6 minutes of a game where you should be out there that you're not. That's what comes into play at 37.5. Do I think he can get there? Yes. Will I bet him? No. But having taken a look at some other guys on the court, we talked about Mitchell Robinson now with that injury where he's not going to play for the rest of the series, which means Hartenstein's going to have to play a lot more, 36 minutes in that previous game, and he scored 13 points. You take a look at his points prop tonight, Ben. That's 11.5. If you're going to tell me guy's going to be out there for close to 40 minutes as the only down low presence for the New York Knicks, he's going to be able to clean up some of that slop and some of those misses here. That's one of those guys I look forward to taking a look at a little bit later today.
And that's why, really, when you think about volume, Jalen Brunson makes sense. It's volume in minutes for Isaiah Hartenstein and for Josh Hart, who I'll mention in just a moment. But injuring an ankle, some weird act of God to keep Jalen Brunson from 40, might be more likely than Jalen Brunson taking less than 26 field goal attempts, something he has done in all 7 playoff games for New York. That's the volume that allows 37.5, even at the premium in the marketplace, to still make sense. Love the over of 16.5 tonight for Josh Hart, a number he has been over in 5 of the 7, 24 in game number 1, 20-plus 4 times in this playoff run for New York, and he is built in a lab for Tom Thibodeau. 48 minutes, plays the entire game virtually each and every night. Some more thoughts on that game and a best bet up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A solo game, a standalone playoff matchup tonight in the NBA. In New York, it's the Knicks hosting the Pacers for game number 2 inside the world's most famous arena. The Knicks now a 5-point favorite for this second game, total dropping ever so slightly on this Wednesday morning to 219. And as I say that live, down to 218.5. It was 217 in a hook for game number 1. New York wins 121-117. The pace and tempo was up, as Indiana likes to play at, and the game went over. Love Josh Hart over 16.5 points tonight. I also love Tyrese Haliburton over 16.5 as well. Just 2 of 6 from the floor in game number 1. Only 6 points for Indiana's all-star this season. He said after the game, listen, I can't do that again. I cannot put on that performance here in the playoffs and expect my Pacers team to come out with a victory. I need to be more aggressive. I love when guys take the onus on themselves and the responsibility as Indiana's leader and best player. I think Haliburton goes over 16.5 tonight. And if he takes more than 6 shots, let's say 12, and he makes 5 of those 12, we're already at double digits. Add in a couple of free throws, bing, bang, boom, 17 points at least.
Yeah, it feels like he's got to be a 20-10 guy tonight. Usually that's 10 rebounds. No, it's 10 assists for him. He's got to be the focal point of that offense, and I think he can be that. Also, what we take a look at sometimes in these totals, Ben, is during a normal NBA season, what are you doing? All right, let's just say we're flying to New York. We got a game. We're going to fly back out. We play San Antonio 2 nights later. I love the fact that you play a game in the Garden. You stay in town. You stay in the same hotel. It's just the boys together. You get your shoot-arounds in, and you're used to being in that environment in game number 2, which I think bodes well for the shooting nights here, particularly Dante DiVincenzo. Already playing in his home arena, game number 6 in Philadelphia, shot the lights out there, comes back home, shoots the lights out in game number 1. I think he has another good performance tonight. Points prop at that 18 he's got to make 4 3-point shots, which I think he can do that. So it really is correlated. Like if he makes those 3-point shots, he's probably going to get those points. But I do feel comfortable now with all eyes on the prize with Brunson. You do so much just to try to keep him out of the lane. Those guys stand at the 3-point line with wide open looks in their home arena. I think he gets home with his points prop. When we talked about Hartenstein before the break as well, 11.5 points. I think he can get the 12 points too.
Two straight games for our guy, Tay-Tay, Dante DiVincenzo, of at least 5 made threes. 3.5 is his prop. The over has some plus money. I might be tempted by Josh Hart over a 3.5 made. That's 1.5 made threes. Plus 158 to the over for the guy to bang in two triples? Sounds kind of good to me. All right, DRS, as we keep things rolling here on this Wednesday, one lone NBA game, doubleheader on the ice in Stanley Cup playoff action, and a full Wednesday slate in Major League Baseball that includes 8 games played during the day in the afternoon. So before we say farewell on this Wednesday, before we say goodbye, it is time for Bye Bye Bye. What is DRS's best bet on this Wednesday?
Yeah, we're going to go to the Dodgers game. Now, I told you how much I loved Will Smith, the right-handed hitting catcher for the Dodgers. But the fact of the matter is he's not coming up in any prop bets on the FanDuel Sportsbook, which is usually typical for a catcher. If he plays the night before, it's a day game. They usually get the day off. Now, maybe he appears as a DH. We'll see, but you know that DH is. It's Shohei Ohtani, so we don't expect him to be in the lineup. Let's go to the next best right-handed hitter, which, again, not really a downgrade. It's Mookie Betts, 150 ISO power number, which isn't great, but a weighted on-base percentage of 417 against left-handed pitchers this year. Mookie Betts to record an RBI on the FanDuel Sportsbook at a plus 110 price. Let's get that this afternoon.
I love that look. It is a day baseball game in downtown LA. The Dodgers a minus 290 favorite against the Miami Marlins. Winners of 6 straight. Second longest active win streak in Major League Baseball, only behind Donnie's Philadelphia Phillies, who have won 7 in a row, 11 straight at the bank in Philly as well. I already gave you my best bets, kind of. Both points prop listed at 16.5, and on either side of tonight's matchup inside Madison Square Garden. Josh Hart over 16.5 points for the New York Knicks. Tyrese Halliburton over 16.5 points for the Indiana Pacers. Halley only had 6 points in game number 1. Said he needed to shoot more, needed to be more aggressive on the offensive end to go over 16.5, something he has done 3 times here in this playoff run. I think that happens tonight. Josh Hart has gone over 16.5 in 5 of the 7. So much of the workload is on Jalen Brunson, but his Villanova teammate and his New York Knicks teammate can certainly help out over 16.5 points. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for our time together on this Wednesday on the Early Line. But don't you fret. We're back tomorrow on a Thursday starting at 8 a.m. Eastern here on Sports Grid.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I've gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online.
Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.